all excited about today's workshops and discussions, and I'm only sorry this is going to end at noon. We probably could spend 12 more days talking about matches without a solution. But anyway, we welcome you here this morning, and we certainly appreciate the dedication you have to be here, especially the public members. And we hope that this is helpful in whatever area of voter registration that you are involved in. We have another distinguished panel this morning, and we've asked Jeff Jonas, who's a member of our committee, to be the moderator. And with that, we'll just turn it over to you, Jeff. I would recommend that you move the microphones a little closer to where you're speaking, so those in the back can hear your words of wisdom. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Jeff Jonas. This is the Security and Privacy Issues panel. We are going to hear first from Peter Neumann. He is SRI International, Principal Scientist in the Computer Science Laboratory. Peter?
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be here with you. I hope some of you have read my statement that is also on my website now, for those of you who are in the back. I've tried to do several things. I've tried to give you a set of requirements that are needed for any voter registration database, a set of principles, and I've mentioned the USACM principles that Paula Hawthorne and Barbara Simons developed, and included a very brief summary of that in the second appendix to my written statement. In the first appendix, I've actually gone through a collection of screw-ups, problems, misuses, fraud, and whatever else related to databases from my ACM Risks Forum. And I think we'll find some interesting lessons there from things that need to be avoided. The bottom line, and I'll try to stick exactly to my 10 minutes and hope that you have some questions for all of us. The bottom line is that you really need to beware of people who tell you they have technological solutions, and especially easy technological solutions, to what amount to complex social problems. I think a lot of the uses of the technology, in fact, present what I would call a double-edged sword. One example was the Rebecca Schaefer legislation in California, where a television actress was effectively stalked from information that was in her DMV record. The new legislation says you have to notify the individual when somebody goes after their data. And this is not relevant to voter registration, but it's representative of the slippery slope that exists when you have large amounts of data online. So some of the lessons, I think, that we see of past misuses are very relevant here. I give some examples in the written statement about ChoicePoint, which has been implicated in, I think, three different things that were kind of unfortunate. One was a large-scale leakage of supposedly private information. Another was the name matching that happened in 2000, where massive numbers of voters were disenfranchised because of alleged name matches. This is a real slippery slope. If you look at the experience with the no-fly list, essentially everybody named David Nelson, just for example, was unable to fly. Senator Kennedy was rejected because his name was Edward Kennedy for some reason. The idea that you can simply match on names is absurd, and yet we saw yesterday that matching on one of 40,000, the last four digits of the Social Security number, was inadequate. So there's a slippery slope here of doing things that link all these databases together. I think what Michigan is doing is extremely interesting, linking the DMV and the voter registration under the same umbrella. And that has an enormous advantage, but it also has the potential for all sorts of misuses. One of the problems that I spend some time on in my written statement has to do with protecting the information of people with special needs. Yesterday you heard from Jim Dixon on the problems of the disabled. The special needs are people with protected identities, including intelligence agents and women who are under special dispensation against, basically against harassment, and certainly witness protection people. There are quite a few state laws which allow that data to be treated differently, to be considered as more sensitive than the rest of the information in the voter registration database, which is otherwise totally public. And there are a lot of special needs that when you start getting into the voting problem, whether it's actually counting the votes or worrying about the registration and the authentication of individuals, that have to be taken care of. So on one hand, people say, gee, it ought to be trivial to build a database that's accurate and correct and up to date. The problems are, in fact, much more difficult. The history of database risks is interesting. What we see at the moment in some of the state databases is probably better than a lot of the other examples that I give. One of which was the Electronic Employment Verification System, EEVS, or as they like to pronounce it, EVES, which is being developed by Homeland Security for the Social Security Administration. And the problems there are very considerable. The little pilot study that they built has a 4% error rate. Now, if you think 4%, well, gee, that's not too bad. When you scale that up to every employer in the country who has to check the database instantly, basically, on anybody that they want to hire, 4% of essentially every citizen, green card person, and potential legal immigrant or visiting resident alien or whatever, who's supposedly in this database is going to cause massive, massive problems. So I think there are lessons that needed to be learned from those cases. And as I look through the problems of building databases that respect security and privacy, a lot of them have had enormous difficulties. The FBI virtual case file is one example. The EVE system is another. The California statewide automated child support system, the so-called deadbeat dads system, has had enormous difficulties in their trying to get it together. People were unable to keep records up to date. Name collisions and name crashes and system crashes and things like that. So when you look at the collection of things that have gone wrong, you discover that there are a great many problems that need to be dealt with. So as I said, I've listed a whole bunch of requirements, things like identification, authentication, accuracy, being concerned about identity usurpation and identity theft, things like that, and some of the other data misuses. There's the question of unique identification. The naming problems came up yesterday, and they're clear here. I mentioned from the floor the issue issue of real ID, which is being potentially mandated for the EVES system. The real ID issue brings up a great many concerns relating to privacy when you look at Social Security numbers and the misuses that they've had. We need unique identifiers of some sort, but we also need some understanding of the risks of their misuse. The simplest risk use in terms of unique identifiers like such as Social Security numbers is the banks stupidly using them as authenticators. Anybody who could cite your Social Security number or even the last four digits of it is now you, by virtue of the fact that that's what they're trying to do for authentication. So I think the slippery slope here is that there are many ways in which the solutions that people come up with may in fact be dangerous in other regards. The erroneous disenfranchisement, I think, is one of the nasty problems. I mentioned the Choice Point case. The Caltech MIT study claimed that something perhaps 4 million people were disenfranchised in 2000. There were problems in Ohio in 2004 where a very large number of voters simply disappeared from the rolls or were unable to vote. The provisional ballot thing does provide an opportunity for some remediation of that, but it must be enforced in some reasonable way. So the really difficult problem here, with respect to the voting problem in general, but specifically with respect to voter registration databases, is the accountability problem. If people are making changes to that database, in any particular state or county or wherever from wherever they're doing it, the database mechanism needs to have an audit trail that specifically shows who changed what and when, rather than just some random change that removes a voter who happens to be a legitimate voter from the database. And of course, the audit trails need to be non-subvertible, and they need to have some assurance that they are not being misused in some way. For example, we find in audit trails that very often there's information that is quite sensitive by itself. So there's a privacy issue with regard to the accountability mechanisms as well. So I think that's about as much as I can cover in the short time. I think there are a very substantial number of problems here, and that I've tried to outline just a few of them in my written statement, and I hope you will read it carefully and think about it when you write your both your short-term and your long-term reports. In the short term, there's just a great deal that could be done with oversight and accountability. In the long term, I caution you against using technological solutions for problems that are really not solvable through technology. Thank you.